Okay, good evening, everybody.
Is AGP ready?
Are you ready?
All right.
Thumbs up. Okay, let's call this new year to order and the meeting of the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors on January 14th. So can I get a roll call vote, Marie?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
I'm present.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
I'm here. Thank you. I want to welcome everybody, the audience, the staff, and the board. We're going to have a great year, and it's going to be productive. And on that note, let's recognize our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks.
Very good.
Okay. Does anybody have any changes or recommendations for the agenda? Is everybody pretty happy with that?
The only thing, and I'm sure it got corrected by somebody. Where is it? The adjourned to the next regular meeting is.
Karen, you got to speak in your mic. I can't hear you.
On the back of it, it says the board is adjourned to the next regular board of directors meeting, and it's not January 14th, it's January 28th.
It's okay. Just, so we're going to change it from today's date.
And I'm sorry, Marie, I didn't get to call you.
That's okay.
Okay, so can I entertain a motion to adopt the agenda?
I'll move to approve as modified.
Second.
Okay. Is that a roll call, Marie? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yeah.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes. Let's rock and roll. Okay. Public comment for matters not on the agenda tonight. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Ms. Lucy. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I attended the newly formed Strategic Planning Committee of this district last Friday. And in attendance were directors Blackburn and Guerrero. And I made comments at that committee meeting, and I said that I don't take any particular interest or satisfaction in criticizing Mr. Ogren, your general manager. But doggone it, he makes it so easy. And I just have to point to yesterday at the Board of Supervisors, where Mr. Ogren wasted the entire morning sitting in the audience seemingly regarding two fairly insignificant consent items. One was the drought response program for schools. Another one had to do with his appointment to Zone 3, as you know. Both perfunctory matters, he did not need to be there. The one matter that did have some significance, the Groundwater Sustainability Act, Mr. Ogren left before it was over. So $500, which is a half day, that's what he wasted. For what? I have to ask your board. You know there's work to be done at the office. For example, you know that you're expecting a water sewer rate increase in the very near term. Now, your general manager is working to shortcut the Proposition 218 process so your board can pass an urgency ordinance. Well, I don't think this is why they intended the urgency ordinance legislation was crafted by the state. The simple fact is, Mr. Ogren wants to streamline the process so you guys can implement the water/sewer rate increase quicker. And you have to ask yourself why. Well, you're running out of money. That's why. And Mr. Ogren wants to make sure that there's enough money coming in so he can pay himself. Now, doesn't that disturb you? $1,000 a day. And I will talk about the strategic planning that Mr. Ogren has organized when the item comes up. But I have to challenge your board and your board, each of you individually. What's going on? Is Mr. Ogren just going to spend time at every luncheon? Remember Geislin, he went to every luncheon and served a good meal. That's what you've got with Mr. Ogren.
President Lucy?
Yes. Actually,
wait for public comment to be done. I guess we still have more public comment, right?
There's probably more public comment, but I'm going to ask people that please, unless you have proof of your accusations, that you bring that proof to the board, okay? I just ask that we try to move into this year with facts, not speculation or any of that. So, although that's right, I was there, and we can talk about that later, and I was there, and so was Mr. Ogren. Well, this was public comment. Mr. Edwards, we're not going to get out of order here, and if you want to talk during the break or something, I'll be happy to talk to you, but I'm not going to do it now. So we're going to continue on with public comment, but I'm only going to deal with facts this year, no speculations. Okay, so does anybody else have any public comment? Not hearing any, I'll move on. Okay. So we're not going to do, Mr. Ogren, did you have something you wanted to add?
You know, besides the general nature of the antagonistic comments there, I want to address the very specific point of the allegation of circumventing Prop 218. And, you know, that's just blatantly false. You don't have the ability to circumvent Prop 218.
Do we need to put this on the agenda?
I think for the record, it's really important to, you know, make sure it's clear to anybody who's listening that that allegation is absolutely false. There's no intent.
And that's
of
why
this
we're going to start the year off with facts.
Yeah.
Okay. So and that means everybody, the audience, the staff, and particularly the board. So on that note, we can put that on the agenda for a later date or to be discussed. Earlier than later, or I know we're going to have to deal with it at some time. So,
yeah, that's correct.
Add 218 to the.
It's got to be part of the process.
Okay, great. So let's put that on. Okay, and then we can discuss on what that looks like for that day. Is there anybody else that wants to do public comment? Okay, great. So special presentations, pretty light there. And is there anybody from the Sheriff's Department here tonight? Maybe on the streets? Maybe feeling a little bit more protected? No? Okay, so there's no report from the Sheriff's Department. Okay, how about the Five Cities Fire Authority? Do we have a representative from the Fire Authority? Okay. So
I'll give a report later.
Okay, you can give a report later, but... These are entities that Oceano has vested interest in, and maybe I'm thinking that maybe a gentle, nice letter saying that we really would like your participation once a month, considering that we're vested partners in these projects. Would that be appropriate? Jeff? Okay,
yeah,
so
can
I ask
up.
You to draft a letter to Five Cities Fire Authority, Sheriff's Department, and I actually would like to send a nice letter to State Parks and Recs inviting them to come back and give reports as well. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to you. Great. Tony, your turn. Hi.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Can you pull your mic up, Tony? I don't think that it's broadcasting. There we go. Thank you.
Happy New Year. Just want to give you a little update on Lopez Treatment Plant. It's at 41.1% full, which is 20,304 acre feet. Since the last time we spoke, we had 8 work orders, 10 USAs, 15 customer service calls, 2 call-outs. We've upgraded a service line for a customer to a 1-inch. We've installed 2 1-inch meters, 6 5/8 meters. We did our monthly cleaning of the problem sewer laterals, continued with fire hydrant maintenance. We've been constantly working on wells 5 and 8, getting the projects going on those. We had the monthly vehicles and equipment checks, including fire extinguishers for the facilities. It's pretty much covering everything. Some weed abatement in there after the rains.
And how did we hold up through the rains?
Did very well. They actually, 13th and Highway 1, Caltrans went out there before the rains and actually had a loader clear out a section, so it drained fairly quick.
And they did that over at Front and Cienega, too. They had the drainage. They were there yesterday with their skip loader.
They've been pretty proactive. I've seen them around.
Great. And Mr. Ogren, you'd spoke a little bit about the Highway 1 and 13 project through the Community Development Block Grant, the HUD, through HUD funds.
Yes.
Is there any update on that? Because I want to know if they're in contact with you and working with the both of you.
So based on discussions that I had this week with the county, my understanding right now is that the CDBG money has been confirmed and is available for the project. So we need to turn our attention then on the coordination issues and in some of those details, yes.
Okay, so you'll come back to the board when I think that's really great news, because the last time we heard that there was some questions with HUD, and but I'm glad to hear that it was funded. It's going to mean our team and the county working together collaboratively, because my understanding is we do have some stuff that needs to be moved or
something to that effect. Utilities in the ground that will be needed to be moved. Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. Oh, when's the truck coming?
I think we have
the latest estimate was tomorrow.
That's the latest estimate, yes.
Okay.
Truck?
Yeah. So
I did not confirm that today, but as of last week, it was supposed to be here tomorrow. I'll get a definite answer tomorrow, hopefully.
Well, if you need a ride up to Slow to go pick it up, let me know.
Absolutely.
What are they putting those custom tires in that CD player in?
No, it's the custom bed.
Not quite.
It's the dump.
It's the bed that's taken a while because of the holidays.
The Murphy beds that fold out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dump bed and all that, yes.
Okay, great.
Thank
you. One of those tiny houses.
Yeah, great. Right. Thank you, Tony. Exactly. Okay, moving right along. Director Angelo.
I did not attend any meetings. I was going to do airport advisory, but I could not find out for sure if it was going to be scheduled, because I was told no, they're going to, because of the holiday, they weren't going to have it. So then I was told, yeah, they're going to have it, but I didn't make it. So I figured, I didn't know if they were going to be there anyway. But
were
I will
you
be
able,
attending the next one.
We have this new fancy dancy calendar. Did you have a chance to look at the calendar and see if it's?
No,
why
don't
you take a look at that?
I didn't get the fancy dance calendar.
Yeah. It's a great calendar. Okay, it's kept me on time this week.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so,
okay. Good.
Okay,
I'll get a photocopy.
And Director Blackburn.
Yes. Oops, sorry. In December, I attended the Zone 1-1A committee meeting, and the county reported that they had done pre-storm inspections and that there was sediment removed from the flap gate in November. I was looking today, and currently the water levels are equal on both sides of the Meadow Creek side and the AG Creek side. They're pretty equal, so there won't be any movement of the flap gate for now. But the flap gate alternative discussion will be continued to the next meeting, which is February 17th. For OAC, that was canceled for December, but in January, at the on the 26th, the advisory council will be hosting a presentation from Caltrans, and they will be discussing plans for the walkway, the ADA walkway on the bridge, the Highway 1 bridge. And they would really, really appreciate any public participation. So we will be sending out emails, but we invite anyone to join us at 4 on Monday, January 26th for that discussion.
Is that kind of going to be like a work group, or?
I don't know. I don't know exactly. I'd imagine that they'll be presenting different options, and then people will have a chance to weigh in on those options.
What time is that going to be?
4. It's a regular scheduled meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do
did you have something
for January 26th at 4 o'clock?
Yes.
Well, that's good news because I had some correspondence with Caltrans regarding what their public engagement process was going to be, and I got a non-response.
Okay.
And so what you might want to do in advance is ask them for advanced copies of, like, the schematics of the alternatives that they're considering.
Okay.
The very general discussion that I had with them, it was clear that some of their scope was going to be a little bit constrained potentially due to budget concerns.
Okay.
So, you know, the extent of work that they had hoped to do may not be as much as they're thinking that they're going to do, but I don't really know the details, and but to try to get some advanced information from them prior to the meeting might be helpful.
Okay, thank you. We'll
Great.
Do that. And then we also, sorry, Director Guerrero and I did attend the Strategic Planning Committee where we had a preview of the agenda item today, and we discussed the committee's role moving forward, which would most likely be a monthly review of activities and goals that are decided on by the full board tonight. So that's all that I have.
So the strategic planning meeting met for the first time, the committee met for the first time?
Yes, just to discuss the role of the committee in the planning process.
So it wasn't details, it was just pretty much how we're going to structurally move forward? Would
yes.
you say that's fair?
Yes, as the item was discussed today, or after the item was discussed today.
Okay, and did you talk about, are we looking at timelines in 2-5 year increments? On goal setting, long-term, short-term?
Madam President, because that's on the agenda coming up, maybe
oh,
we can,
okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
That's all for me. Thank you.
That's all. Okay. Director White.
Yeah, I didn't have any meetings over the Christmas holidays, but the Five Cities Fire Authority's first meeting of the year was supposed to be at the regular meeting date on Friday the 16th at 2 p.m., but it has been moved back a week to the Friday the 23rd at 2 p.m. because both John Scholes, who is the mayor and new member from Grover Beach, and Barbara Harmon, who's the city councilwoman and new member from Arroyo Grande, are both going to be at the League of California Cities meeting. So at that meeting, we will welcome the two new members, and then there will be some determination of the officers for the year, because there's some conflicts in, there's a protocol which would put Barbara Harmon as chairperson, but Oceano had the chair when I went on, and the protocol was that I was supposed to continue the chairmanship, and I didn't, and it's all, let's just say we're gonna work it out. It's no big issue, because I just feel sometimes, though, that Oceano, after 2 years, should have some kind of a leadership role in the Five Cities Fire Authority.
I'm sorry.
And
go ahead.
And we're also going to look at a couple of issues, one of which is possible way to get a third firefighter on the Oceano truck, which I brought to Steve Lieberman, the new fire chief. And also, I'm going to continue the push to get some resolution on the call-out system that's used, especially for Oceano, with the 911 and the cell phones and the sheriff and the CHP and the CAL FIRE and our Grover Dispatch Center. Thank you.
Well, that kind of overflows into what I see is a disconnect in policies and procedures, in that Oceano sits on some committees where they're, you know, the chair and the co-chair is just handpicked, or, you know, instead of a rotation, and then there's some bodies where thankfully there's a rotation, and Oceano has the opportunity to sit as one of the chair, co-chair of that body. And so, you know, I think it's time that we kind of had a policy discussion about, particularly about elections. Sometimes when the bodies are stacked, you know, it's just passed back and forth between two entities that just seem to be comfortable with each other. And I've seen that happen on the Five Cities Fire Authority. You've been there for some time now, and you have yet to be in a leadership role. And some people will argue that it's not a leadership role, but I beg to differ. It might be not, you know, you might not have veto power or weird stuff like that, but you definitely have visibility, and that means something. And I know that Supervisor Arnold is advocating for the supervisors to go in and revisit that policy issue, and I actually think that's a really good idea. And I saw a lot of what the supervisors discussed yesterday fall over to Oceano's board as far as how we have to operate in outside committees. So if it's at all possible, I'd like to have a policy discussion on our protocols.
Well, in this case, the protocol was recently adopted and hadn't been followed before, and that's there is a conflict. And
well, they changed the rules midstream.
Well, I wasn't quite going to say it that way, but yes.
Well, I did. Okay. You have anything else to report, Karen?
No, not at this time.
Mr. Guerrero.
Yes, good evening. I attended the South Slope San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District last Wednesday. The chair rotated to Arroyo Grande after I held it for, I think, 2 years. Yeah. And I'd invite everybody out next week. It will be at 6 o'clock, AG City Hall. One of the things we are considering is whether or not to rotate the meetings. Remember, they used to always be held here. Then we decided to have a rotation, including Grover, AG, and Oceano, to try to encourage public participation. So I don't really mind if it stays in AG. I don't mind if it comes here. There's some value to consistency being in the same place. There's also some value to traveling because it might encourage public participation. I don't know if the amount of participation changes with the locations, but so I did want to check in with this board and see if this board had any opinion about it, whether or not we should rotate back or just leave it in AG.
Personally, I have actually heard recently that they would appreciate it if it did rotate to Oceano as well. So
it's coming back, I think, next week. I could be wrong. It might be the week after or the meeting after. But
I have one more thing.
Can I just ask you real quickly?
Sure.
Is that body's bylaws based on rotation, or is it based on who can print whose name out there first?
I think that it's just a nomination. I don't think that it rotates for each entity through on a yearly basis. I'd have to go back and look, but I think it's just based upon nomination.
And was there discussion on change of the chairs?
No.
Yeah, see, that really kind of concerns me because of the Sand District has had so many problems. Mm-hmm. They've rectified so much. They've moved forward so much. To have a member come on, which it's great to get a fresh perspective, but you gotta catch up to what you're doing before you take control of the wheel, I guess, for lack of a statement, but. So can you check on that so we can look at those policies? And
sure.
And so it's affected us twice in two outside committees, this inconsistency, and now the Board of Supes too. So
okay.
Thanks.
So I do hear from the board that we would obviously welcome the rotation and sanitation district back.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
And I had one more little thing.
Yeah, sure.
The Five Cities Fire Authority meets at 2 p.m. has their meetings have been set at a 2 p.m. on Friday time slot, and I feel that that is not a particularly good time and day to get audience participation, to get people who would want to come. And I am going to suggest that we reconsider when we're meeting. I've even suggested at 11:30 or 12 or 1 o'clock on Friday, at least people who had wanted to talk to the Five City Fire Authority could take a lunch hour. I just think 2 o'clock on a Friday is not fair to the public. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to me because I'm retired, but the general public, you know, people do work. Anyway.
So is that going to be up back up on the agenda?
Yeah.
Because, you know, to be honest, the work, you know, the people who are working, doing the work, by Friday at 2, they're pretty mentally exhausted. So to have any kind of in-depth discussion with substances, you tend to back off because you're tired and it's 2 on a Friday and mentally you're gone already.
Well, it's just a lousy time for the general public to try and get somewhere. Yeah. It's neither fish nor fowl.
So you'll keep us updated when those discussions happen.
A noon hour meeting, people could have a chance to go. But it's difficult because you can't have a meeting on Tuesday. You can't have a meeting on Wednesday because those are allocated for supervisors and city councils and everything. So when you meet, it has to do with the availability of the people who are on the board and the other people.
Yeah. It is kind of hard, but I'm sure that they'll figure it out. You'll figure it out.
I suggested Monday at 7 a.m.
How did that go over?
Badly.
Badly, okay. Somebody referenced, I attended the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday. There was a long, lengthy discussion about the ceremony, that the swearing-in ceremony that happened 2-3 meetings ago. That was one of the issues that the public comment was overlooked and quite possibly maybe it wasn't overlooked, but the bottom line is that it didn't happen, and that's the big problem right there. And so there was a long, lengthy discussion and I think a lot of good things happened out of it, and I do want to applaud Ms. Tackett for bringing it to the attention of others. And the board did go back and somewhat rectified it to some degree. But there's also another problem with the Board of Supervisors is we have a couple of supervisors who will never get the opportunity to be chair or co-chair on that body, and my concern is our representative on that body will never make it to chair in the current format that it's going on, which is by appointment. And so Supervisor Gibson has been chair for a few years. I don't know exactly how long, but I know it's been over 2 years. And so they're definitely looking at their policies and procedures and trying to rectify that. It was nice to see a large community turnout, but I always enjoy that as well. So the main thing was that Mr. Ogren and I were there for an extensive water report. And so when I get done with that, Pavel, do you want to talk about the water report now or under your section? Because it's important. That's, you know.
He doesn't have a section.
Pardon me?
He doesn't have a section.
A section? Yeah, he's got a section on the agenda. Don't worry. You know, so trust me, he does. So anyway, do you want to speak to it now or do you want to speak to it later? Because the LRRP. You know what? Let's wait till under board business, under the items.
Not on the agenda.
Business items. Business items. I'm giving.
We can't dialogue with the public like this.
Yeah, I know.
You can't talk if it's not on the agenda. So.
Okay.
I think that we have the ability to figure out what we can and can't do here without the discussions from the audience. With respect to the item that the Board of Supervisors covered yesterday on groundwater, I can certainly expand on your item here. that we were both in attendance.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, but it's really covered underneath, you know, your committee discussions and our attendance. And what President Lucy and I observed yesterday was the presentation by the county on the new groundwater management laws and the county's approach to the groundwater sustainability agencies, what they call GSAs, and who is going to be responsible for compliance with the new laws. If local agencies don't comply, what was part of the discussion yesterday is that the state will have the right to step in and enforce compliance under the new groundwater regulations. Specifically to NCMA, what they commented on was that there is three areas overall in the Santa Maria groundwater basin within San Luis Obispo County that are in the Santa Maria groundwater basin but not covered by the adjudication. And the three agencies then that they need to work with on that are NCSD, because there's a portion of the groundwater basin in NCSD's boundaries that's not covered by the adjudication, the city of Arroyo Grande. Well, and that portion is obviously in the NMMA area, not in our NCMA area. Then there's a portion upstream on Arroyo Grande Creek that's in the Santa Maria groundwater basin, but not covered by the adjudication, basically east of Highway 101. And they will need to work with the city of Arroyo Grande in that area. And then similarly, there's a portion of the basin upwards in the Pismo Creek area that's not covered by the adjudicated areas, and so they'll have to work with the city of Pismo Beach. One of the board members asked specifically about Grover. The staff's response was all of Grover is covered by the adjudicated area, and similarly, all of Oceano is covered by the adjudicated area. So those three agencies that are covered, that are part of the adjudication, have some of their territory that's not, and so the county is going to have to follow up and work with them directly. But it does not at least appear at this point in time that Oceano CSD. So the purpose of attending with President Lucy was to really the educational side of understanding where the county was going, and generally speaking, how is the new groundwater legislation going to affect us in our county. And so we attended through the duration of the staff presentation and the educational aspects. And then when it got into board deliberations that weren't really going to affect us is when, we departed. But
correct.
In any case, I think that's the summary points of the educational aspects of what we heard yesterday.
And I'll take it from there. And when I read SB 1168 and SB 1319, what screamed out at me, what the governor and the legislators were asking for, is they want collaboration. And they want it on multiple levels in, excuse my term, hell or high water. And I read that all the way through those bills, that they were pushing collaborative efforts and that everybody be included. Because these bills were kind of for inclusion. So they pounded it very hard, collaboration, and then basically managing the basin in a collaborative way. So they're going to have to bring in Northern Cities Management. They're going to have to bring in Santa Maria Groundwater Basin, the MCCA people, and the farmers up in that pass that's not covered upstream in East Rural AG. So they're calling the document the protocol on how to file, how to proceed forward. It's going to be called the SGMA Sigma document. And I did volunteer to be there for Oceano. So, but it's going to be groundwater management heavy and collaboration. I also attended the RAC meeting, Water Resource Advisory Committee, one of my favorite committees sitting on this board. They had the standard housekeeping updates. There's a lot happening around the Paso Robles groundwater basin management and how that entity is going to look, how it's going to fit into this current legislation. There was also quite a bit of comment on grazing land, some of the policies the state is changing, how some of the free-range grazing occurs, and so there was some testimony on that and reiterated back at the Board of Supervisors. Then we, Mr. Ogren and I attended a meeting earlier, which is out of the IRWM money, correct? Correct.
Earlier.
Before the RAC meeting, we
the
attended the
Regional
workshop.
Water Management Group meeting, yes.
That, yeah.
So the Regional Water Management Group, are those agencies are part of the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding,
correct,
for the IRWM plan?
So they mainly talked about doing a little bit more outreach to the schools because the schools are included in some funding that is in the area, and that's called the DROP program. And I don't know as much about that program as Mr. Ogren knows. And so is there something you'd like to add to that, or if you'd actually like to agendize this, because I think it's important that we do work with Lucia Marr in helping them in any way we can and them helping us in any way they can. You know, so if you want to have a more lengthy discussion on it, but
I can just add a couple of salient points right now. So there's two school districts that are applying for money, or tentatively. The deadline for applications are due tomorrow. Lucia Marr Unified School District, which would include some projects and educational programs proposed at Oceano Elementary, as well as a number of other schools. The Paso Robles Unified School District, and then through the County of Office of Education, Morro Bay National Estuary Program is also working on an application. And essentially what the state has done after the governor declared the drought emergency is that there was some money left over from Prop 13 and Prop 84, or Prop 40, 13 and 40, I think, or 13 and 84. Anyways, those bond measures were approved by the statewide voters in 2000 and 2002. The vast majority of that money has already been allocated out and used on water resource-related projects throughout California. The remaining funds is what they then reallocated, or repurposed, is what they said, to make it available for schools for low-impact development projects in order to promote things such as groundwater recharge. 35% of the points associated with the applications, though, are the education programs for the youth. And the basic concept is to promote some of the LID and some of the newer programs at the school sites and to get the students engaged throughout the project in terms of, you know, how do you design them, how do you implement them, and then what do you do in terms of monitoring their performance, with the idea that the more that the school age children are engaged in these kind of efforts, that it will reinforce the educational aspects of it. And so for Lucia Marr specifically, One Cool Earth and Central Coast Salmon Enhancement are two nonprofits who were volunteering and helping get the application together. I provided some assistance on a volunteer basis. And the district's relationship, again, is that this is part of integrated regional water management planning. And, of course, Oceano has signed the MOU and is a participant in those regional efforts. And so I spent a few hours of staff time as well in the last couple of days as they put the polishing touches on the application. I think in terms of a future agenda item, it would probably be good to see how the application goes, because if they do get funding, then we would have opportunities to provide some support both on the educational and maybe in some of the field work. And certainly there's no commitments of the district on the applications, but we might have some opportunities to collaborate if they get the funding approved. My recommendation would be to just wait and see to see if they do get the grant approved or not.
Okay. So, Marie, can you make a footnote that keep an eye out for coming back and asking the board for a memorandum of understanding and letter to support their application? And I agree, you know, holding off until we see the application itself and see where it is in the rankings. But It's more than just getting a school funded. It's about training our future generations on how to deal in with droughts and collect and use what we can. Anything you want to add, Jennifer?
It just is really exciting to me. I like the idea of the program and helping local students be educated on that.
Yeah.
I remember being educated as a kid on it, and
yeah.
I still feel like it wasn't enough, so it's good that...
Yeah, and I think they're starting out the gate really good, and they did a little video, and it was exciting, you know, where, you know, they might see a leak in the roof as a burden, right? Well, actually, you know, if you look at it differently, it's a source of water for the little pond, you know, for the little fishies and stuff. So it was good, you know. It's all around kind of a feel-good program, mm-hmm. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Okay, on that note, that was my week. And does anybody else have anything they want to add for outside committees and anything to that sense? Okay.
President Lucy?
Yes.
My only concluding comment is that next month, since on Tuesday the board did appoint me formally to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that part.
So for next meeting, I'll add a sixth person down here on committee reports so that I can provide any appropriate updates on Zone 3. Tomorrow is the first meeting that I'll be attending in that role.
And where are you meeting?
I think it's Rio Grande, but I got to double check. It rotates group. So.
Grover. Well, that's why it's important for the public to be here. So, Zone 3 tomorrow in Grover Beach. Yeah, because they just did HE. And that committee's makeup has changed somewhat. Mr. Vardis from Pismo Beach no longer is on that board. And Mr. Councilman Ed Wagge. Yeah, him.
Yeah, my understanding is that some of the city's appointees have been nominated by the cities, but the timing has not yet got to the Board of Supervisors, so I'm not really clear on who is going to be sitting. It might be the alternate from last year is still going to be representing Pismo.
Okay. And that body, too, has different seating for chair and co-chair. And Lori and I worked pretty hard last year, the year before, on getting some bylaw changes to Zone 3, which was that the chairs and co-chair serve at the pleasure of the board, but that it be on a rotation, because Oceano would not be in any rotation. And so I've been the co-chair for last 6 months, and so I think it's good. That's where, you know, getting these policies straightened out has been beneficial to particularly to this geographic area that's traditionally been left out of decision-making bodies. Boy, I could talk a lot on that topic. But anyway, on that note, we're going to move to the consent agenda. This is public comment. These are items that are this is public comment on the items that are listed for the consent agenda, which is the minutes to be approved, cash disbursements, recommendation authorizing the GM to designate, Cesar Chavez letter of intent. Not Cesar Chavez, I'm sorry.
We know what it is.
He wants water.
My neighbor's letter. So on that note, I really admire the man and his movement. But anyway, you know, on that note, Jeff, maybe you could tell me, since the Chavez family does have their shell of a home across the street, most definitely, I feel I'm in conflict on that one. So would I pull back on the entire consent agenda, or are we going to pull that and make it special? Very good.
Let's take public comment and then
yeah.
address that.
Okay.
You can't do that. She can't be part of the public comment should I speak to the Chavez matter. That's the Brown Act.
We're doing an approval of minutes.
Okay, so I'm going to make this really easy. So on item, I'm not going to complicate things. On item 9, right, the consent agenda, yes. I'd like to turn the chair over to Director White, and you can do public comment and okay. The items.
Yeah, Madam President, my point of clarification is that we did not modify the agenda previously, so mm-hmm. moving it from the consent to the business items, I think, would have needed to be addressed earlier.
Yeah, but
the idea
disclose.
Of a specific item on the consent agenda, one that you believe you have a conflict with, then yes, there needs to be a separate vote on that. And you know, what you're doing right now, I think, is appropriate. But we didn't modify the agenda from consent to board business. So instead, I think you have to split the consent agenda into.
That's fine, too. There's no way to do it. So. Let's deal with that item separately. As long as we deal with it separately and you abstain from the vote on that
particular
item. So why don't
we
just take
A and B. Just take A and B as one action.
Okay.
And then you can abstain from C.
All right. Public comment. Ms.
On,
Tucker.
On not C, though.
Hold on.
Right, because on C, if you're stepping down, then you're supposed to step out.
Yeah, we just said we were going to move that to 10.
No, we can't.
No.
We're going to deal with it separately. So let's do public comment on A and B.
Yes. Public comment on A and B.
There we go. So just the facts. I thought I'd read this out loud for the benefit of the public who generally doesn't look at this. And it
What's
is
this, Julie?
Your,
I'm sorry.
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
It is your payroll. You have 7 employees. Your account clerk for 2 weeks will be paid $1,636.91. Your office manager will be paid $2,344.80. Your account clerk will be paid $1,288.20. Your general manager for the same 2 weeks will be paid $7,538.46. Utility systems operator, $1,772.33. Utility field supervisor, $2,779.88. Utility systems operator, $1,892.21 for a total of $19,252.78. I think it's important that the public sees that your general manager makes 3 times the highest other person in your on your staff. And if you take his salary, he makes more than 5 of the others combined. So, just the facts.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Ms. Lucy. My name is Jeff Edwards. Very quickly on 9B, cash disbursements. Again, I see payments to the Nossaman Law Firm, Henry Weinstock, and we also have Fugro on here. I've mentioned this perhaps dozens of times. What is this district's role in the NCMA? Here you have Mr. Ogren. You'd think this would be one of the first things he would tackle for you, is to refine your role. You know, these amounts aren't much in the cash disbursements, $1,500 here, $1,500 there, a couple thousand here, a couple thousand there. But over time, I could suggest to you that it adds up. We're talking tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And for what benefit? This district receives little to no benefit. So I'll just reserve the rest of my time, but I think you need to really evaluate your role in the future in the context of the NCMA. Thanks.
And how much time does Mr. Edwards have left?
He has 1 minute and 58 seconds.
Okay.
Would you like me to respond to some of the comments on the consent agenda?
We can't discuss these. And that's what I wanted to ask legal counsel. This is contrary to whatever I've been in, is to actually do it. When in the past, what I've had done is that if people comment on consent items, they are immediately pulled and put under special. And that's how a couple bodies I've worked on. Now, there's been other bodies that people have done public comment and comment on consent items. And if that board needs further discussion or something, then it's pulled and put in. So what does our protocol say?
Thank you, Madam President. The board can hear public comment on consent items, and that's not an issue. The consent items are items that are brought to the board that are not deemed to need any other further discussion. If the board does look at the item and then maybe even upon hearing public comment decides that they do want to discuss it, then we will pull it and move it off the consent calendar. But if the board looks at what we're talking about right now, items A and B, and there's no discussion necessary at the board level, then you don't need to pull it. It's a consent item. You can just someone can make a motion to approve the consent items and a vote.
Okay. Thank you very much for that clarification, because I do want to do it right, you know.
I guess I'm not exactly clear. Because certainly I've observed, even at the Board of Supervisors yesterday during consent agenda, they did address some questions to staff. They didn't choose to pull items for separate votes, but they had a little bit of discussion in terms of Q&A with staff on the consent agenda. My understanding is that it's really your board's decision as to whether or not you want to even talk anything about consent agenda or move forward. But as items on the agenda, I have observed other bodies where they do a little bit of Q&A or responses to public comment before they take the formal action on the consent agenda.
And so maybe it's at the discretion of that particular chair for that particular body.
Yeah, I don't see anything in the bylaws that speak to it one way or another.
Okay. Anybody else have anything they want to put in on that?
Okay. I make a motion.
No, don't please make a motion yet. Oh, you're going to make a motion on A and B?
Yeah.
Okay.
I make a motion we approve consent agenda items A, minutes of the December 10th regular meeting, and B, review and approval of the cash disbursements.
I'll second.
Okay. Do we need a roll call vote on that, Ms. Marie?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. And on that note, I'm going to...
do you want to see if there's any public comment on items? On
item C?
Yeah.
That I still need... Yeah.
If there's no public comment, then you can excuse yourself. If it's a consent item, it's not going to be discussion or deliberation on it.
Does anybody want to comment on item
C? I make a motion.
C? Would there like to be any public comment on item C? Boy, I would love to do public comment on item C.
I would like to make a motion that we approve the recommendation authorizing the general manager or his designee to send the Chavez family an intent to serve letter.
A second.
Karen, you get to call them.
Call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
And I have to announce the
abstaining.
Vote.
Right.
And the vote is 4-4, no against, and 1 abstention.
Thank you, Karen.
I'll learn. I can learn.
Okay. So now we have the business items for... hold on a second. Item 10, and we're going to start off with public comment for special presentations, reports, boards of directors, and outside committees.
And the business
and the business items.
I don't believe Ms. Tacker reserved any time, did she?
Nope. What? Did I reserve time? I was done quickly, but I'll be done quick again. So,
I am Julie Tacker, and I'll first quickly speak to the facts. And the facts are that the water item, Mr. Ogren and Ms. Lucy both left before the item was complete. I believe it was before the public even made testimony. What I did think was interesting was that Mr. Ogren, after Ms. Lucy left, sat with Mr. Wallace, and he and Mr. Wallace left together. Just the facts. Then, I will speak to the big item that was discussed in committee last week, and that was your strategic planning efforts. And what I expected at the committee level, it's not here today either, is a PowerPoint presentation, a whiteboard and a workshop, something that a call for the public to come in and really participate and get down and dirty and really work through what this district's all about in the next 5 years. And you don't really have that. You have much more tonight than you did on Friday, the two of you that were there. But the public couldn't participate until the general manager had given his hour-long presentation. He didn't even have a pen in his hand, so he wasn't taking notes from your comments. But when the public did speak, Mr. Ogren left the room and never came back, and the meeting was adjourned.
Thank you, Ms. Lucy. Jeff Edwards, good evening, board members. I'd like to object to two things. Number one, limiting public comment for the entire course of your meeting to 6 minutes. That's wrong. Secondly, relative to your hearing items, you take public comment after the staff presentation on each of your items. You need to learn how to do that. What I will talk about are the reports, and you heard a little bit about the Sand District. But what I will tell you is this. Yesterday, I attended the case management conference in Superior Court before Judge LaBarbera. And it is quite clear to me that the direction given by the Sand District Board on January 6th to settle the matter was not heard by the lawyers, by your lawyer. The Downey Brand Law Firm is representing the Sand District. They appeared by court call, as did the AG's office. And there is no mediation discussion. There is no settlement discussion. They're still working on preparing the administrative record, and I'm wondering why. So for those that are interested in the Sand District fine, there's still a lot to be resolved there. Also, you may recall that this coming February 11, 12, 13th, the Coastal Commission will be in Pismo Beach, and they'll have a special briefing on the OHV situation and operations. And I would just close with my comments about the strategic planning effort. I was underwhelmed last Friday afternoon with the presentation by your general manager. And for those board members in attendance, I can only imagine you were also underwhelmed. I will tell you this, that your district, your general manager has 42 months left, and he is already planning his departure. So it's clear that he came here to retire.
Thank you, Mr.
And
Edwards.
That's what he will be doing.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I also would like to public comment. Is there any more public comment to be had? Well, I guess I can speak out of turn, right?
I know.
Lori?
No.
Yeah, I do have something to say. I had talked to Jeff on the phone about the tape that I listened to, and I feel you're out of order to sit up there and challenge everything that they're trying to do. You don't live in this community. I don't know why you're here all the time. I would assume since you live in Los Osos, you'd be more into their politics and what's going on. And every time we have a meeting, you come in here and just want to rip anybody and everybody. And I don't understand the logic for it, other than you're just plain mean or whatever. But I don't appreciate it. I don't want you calling me anymore. I did listen to it, and there was plenty of discussion about all this stuff. And then you get up and try to berate everyone. And I'm sorry. I don't agree with it at all. And I feel like you're trying to take advantage of the situation. And, you know, you really need to find something else to do besides come down here and badger this community week after week. And I hope you do that. Thank you.
And thank you for speaking up, Director Angelo, because when any board member witnesses staff or anybody being abused, it's our obligation to shut it down. And I don't care if you shut it down with a gavel or take it to more extreme measures, but it is unethical, it's not good behavior, and you just don't handle things that way. The personal attacks have zero tolerance at this table. So, are we done with the consent form agenda? We are. 10A.
Okay.
Did anybody get a chance to review the minutes for November 12th? Nope.
Wait,
what am
wait,
I missing?
10A.
The 10A.
Consideration of ballots and voting for the special representative on draft. So this item was continued from your meeting in December.
There are two individuals who have been nominated, and their statement of qualifications is included in the package. Essentially, the ballots need to be submitted to LAFCO by the end of the month, so you have this meeting and you have next meeting if you choose to want to submit a ballot.
And last time there was a discussion regarding Ms. Bronson Gray and Mr. Oship. Oh, I don't. How do you say Marshall's last name?
Ohilski.
Ohilski, yes.
I can't say it either.
With Mr. Ohilski, and there were some board members who wanted to look at the qualifications
And then the other person, she's relatively new from Cambria. Is that what I'm reading?
Cambria Healthcare District, yeah.
Yeah.
My vote would be for Mr. Ohilski, but I'll turn it.
Do you know Mr. Ohilski?
I don't think so.
Have you seen him at the?
I don't think I've ever met him. I'm not sure, though. Maybe I have. I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't feel like I know them enough to actually vote on this whole issue. I think unless we hear them or have some actual contact with them, I wonder if we should vote at all, if we should take a recommendation.
I think LAFCO's encouraging our participation on this.
Well, if you don't vote, you can't complain.
Right, and they are the means that the legislators created to get the voices to the table.
Right.
So,
I don't have strong feelings, I'll say that. Ms. Bronson Gray appears to be more qualified, but Mr. Ohilski is already there and has, a proven record.
And the learning curve would, you know, because LAFCO is somewhat of a complicated, you know,
right,
system to get in there and understand. And
from what I've seen when Barbara Mann was on the board, she was very much in favor of him. He was easy to deal with. I mean, he let everybody put their input in, and that's who I would suggest as well.
Would you like to make a motion after Jen? Do you have something to add?
Yeah, I was. I did get to talk to both of them, and it definitely seems like Mr. Ohilski. Does have the CSD perspective because he's at Los Osos, and he does have the experience on the board. I really did appreciate Ms. Bronson Gray's strong communication background and her desire to communicate with the districts that she was representing as she was on the board, more than just if you had something coming up to LAFCO. She made it sound like she would be just keeping us up to speed on all matters that pertain to districts in general, or CSDs. So I would still lean her way.
Okay. So thanks for doing the follow-up and checking into that. That's good public policy liaisoning. Is that even a word?
She did have a little bit. She had 2 to 3 years of the Municipal Advisory Council, which did handle some fire issues and some water as well. So I just thought I'd mention that.
I'm sure she's well qualified. I just like to stay with the known writer.
Yeah. Active participant in the Cambria CSD. I do see her doing public testimony and being involved. So does somebody want to make a motion? Or
I'll make a motion that we vote for Mr. Ohilski.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Any more discussion? Okay. So can you want to call a question?
Oh, you, that's your...
Oh, that's me. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favor of... Do we need to do a roll call?
Yeah, we'll do a roll call.
Oh, they're screaming roll call. Okay.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
No.
Vice President White?
Abstain, because I don't know enough about either one of them to support.
President Lucy?
Mr. Hilsky.
President Lucy, just to confirm, when you said Mr. Ohilski, that was a yes vote then?
Yes.
Okay. And then you have to announce it, what the vote was.
The vote was
no, and one abstain.
That's right. Thank you. That's the other half of my
Sometimes
chair.
I get it right.
Okay, so the next item, 10B, is going to be a pretty lengthy discussion.
Yes.
Staff has worked tirelessly and diligently on this, and I want to make sure that we give it proper time. So I've scheduled an hour for it. So I would ask that, I'm not saying we have to use the whole hour, but I'm saying, you know, in my brain, I've scheduled an hour for strategic planning. So, but
do you want to take a break first?
I would like to take a break before we do that, if you don't mind, and then we can come back fresh. So it's 7, I can't hardly see.
36.
7:37, and we'll break till 10 to 8. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Okay, are we ready? Okay, I got the thumbs up from the gentleman in the back, and we're rolling again. Okay, so we have the first draft of a strategic plan, and I want to start off by thanking staff. You guys went above and beyond. I've been in the office several times, saw many, many, I hate this term, flip charts, but charts hanging on the walls with input from who better than the staff. And so I know every one of you guys worked on it, field, office, Marie, office manager, and Pablo coordinating the team. So it didn't go unnoticed, and I want to thank you very much for it. So in our packets, we have, remember, I was reflecting back on today on when we were in status quo mode, just hold the fort down. Those days are over. So
thank you.
It's all catching up with us now. So Mr. Ogren, on that note, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Thank you, President Lucy and members of the board. There a couple of sort of prelude comments. And then, depending on the level of detail that your board wants me to discuss the various goals that are laid out here. But I think what would be beneficial is for me to make some introductory remarks and have more of a dialogue with the board on how to move forward. Because the first thing that we did at a staff level is in December we got together and we did the flip charts and we did the brainstorming. We used the priority list that was previously prepared by your board And it had been on your agenda, I think, both in April as well as August of 2014. So we made sure that we, you know, were referring back to the priority list that you had already prepared. But we wanted to make sure to do some really good brainstorming, and we spent about a half a day with the flip charts and simply going through and identifying a lot of things. As a result, in these goals that we've established, there are some that are really just staff work that we need to get to. And then there's others that obviously relate to more of, you know, policy issues and items that need to be brought to the board for consideration. As an example, in January, we say develop a payment plan procedure. And that's the idea that underneath our billing provisions, the ordinance that already exists, we have a little bit of flexibility to allow people to pay. They have to pay a certain amount by the due date, but they cannot carry over more than $30 into the next billing period. And so we've worked through some of the technical details of how that all works and what flexibility do we believe have at the staff level. And so the next step is to get that in a procedural memorandum so it's all nice and clear. And what we have done, again, just as an example item, is the big rolling whiteboard we have. We roll it out there when payment due dates are coming along, so all the dates are up there, and if somebody wants to come in and talk about payment plans, then, you know, we're able to show what is our discretion underneath the ordinance that's already adopted. But we need to get that into a procedural memorandum so all staff is on the board. And then it begs for a couple of additional questions that we might come back to the board in the future, like if somebody has a hardship situation, should we have the discretion to allow a little bit additional flexibility? And, you know, basic thought there for a future board consideration is if they're in good standing and they've made all their payments on a timely basis and they have a hardship situation, then maybe once every 2 years we might have the ability to give them a little bit more flexibility on payment. We don't have that discretion right now. And so maybe building it. We don't have any discretion on waiving of late charges or waiving of the door hanger fees. And might there be situations, again, if somebody's in good standing and hasn't missed a payment in 2 years or whatever, and something happens, then might we have the discretion to waive, you know, again, for customers who are, you know, have been in good standing on a reoccurring basis. So that's an example of getting that procedural memorandum together. That's primarily something that we need to do at the staff level so we're all at the same page. But it came up through our brainstorming, and then it might lead to some future other details that we want to talk to your board. Other things like, you know, considering the effect of the drought, public comments said that, you know, I was trying to circumvent Prop 218. The answer is there's no circumventing Prop 218. The real question there is that normally when an ordinance, after you go through the Prop 218 process, and when a governing board adopts an ordinance then, you know, after, again, full compliance, ordinances typically take effect 30 days after the final adoption. But there are some provisions that allow for the ordinance to go into effect immediately. And the comment that I had last Friday was that I would work with our legal counsel, Minnery, to see, are there the situations that after the Prop 218 process that the ordinance might be able to go into effect immediately? So on that particular point, on the goals, we don't have, you know, every task and every step of the timing worked out. And so that's my segue really into the roles, because the discussion with the committee on Friday was what is the committee's role in these types of efforts. And I noticed that in the bylaws, when we create a committee, the idea is we should outline what their responsibilities are up front. So without that being there, that was then prompted the discussion with the committee. And, you know, my thought on the roles is that it's your board as a whole that sets the priorities and the goals, but it's very beneficial to have the committee in order to track performance and to track how are we doing in these goals, because overall, I think it's a relatively aggressive set of goals on the timing that we have. I'd like to be aggressive on the schedule just to, you know, push as hard as we can. But like any set of goals, are we going to hit them 100% or not? And that's a good purpose for the committee then, is how are we doing on the goals? What are the details that we're working through when we're tackling these various items? I also think that that monitoring of performance on the goals at the committee level is good, because both directors who are on that committee are separately also on the Finance and Audit Committee. So as we're going through these details at the committee level, to the extent that there's potential fiscal implications coming up, then those two directors in separate meetings on Finance and Audit will already be in tune with those details, and it will help facilitate, you know, the Finance Committee and whatever the fiscal implications are. So, you know, I think that part of the deliberations today is for the board to discuss what is the role of the committee. In your bylaws, again, the basic statement is when a committee is created, some sort of an outline of what they're going to do is established. So even if it's only a couple of things, two or three things or whatever, that would be a good part of the discussion.
So would it be safe to say, call it like a mission statement for that committee? So it's clear what the roles.
Yeah, and whether, you know, you want to talk about it today or as a mission statement, you know, developing something specifically may be what is good for the committee to do. But in any case, you know, what does the board as a whole see as the committee's role? So I covered a little bit the idea that, you know, staff got together in developing these goals, and we used the previous board priority list as part of our guidance. And I think that then after we did the brainstorming, then we discussed priorities as we see them, and we talked about scheduling, and so then that's where we then, for the next 6 months, we identified goals on a month-to-month basis, and like many things, it's more predictable on the short term of what we may be able to get to, even though I think it's pretty aggressive. And then what we did for the second half of the year is we identified things that basically are second half goals. And the thought is that then in working with the committee on a monthly basis and how are we progressing, as we get toward May and June, then we'd be working with the committee in terms of what do we think the more detailed timing is on the second half of the year. But obviously this was staff's efforts of putting something together that was relatively comprehensive for your board. And so it's really then, you know, what's your board's pleasures? Do you see priorities being different than what we've laid out? And I think that then will be part of upcoming discussion. So the third point that I want to cover is the idea of the community engagement, because certainly it's an important question. And I think so from a couple different perspectives. One is that we'll see some of the local cities going through a lot of public engagement on priorities. San Luis Obispo, for example, the city is right now doing a lot of outreach in terms of their goals in preparation for their two-year budget cycle. The cities have very broad range of powers, and they have a lot of different authorities. In a community services district, we're a little bit more focused. And I think in recognizing that, then, to me, there's two different types of categories of goals. One is the nuts and the bolts and what we're doing, water and wastewater especially. There's some issues associated with can we develop funding for additional fire services. But those are sort of the nuts and bolts or the core responsibilities of the CSD. And so that's really where staff has focused, because we know that there's been a lot of deferred maintenance. There's been a number of other issues that really haven't been kept timely over the last several years. And we focused in on the core issues. On the very last page, you know, I just put a few items there as other issues like, you know, wraparound services or other things like the revitalization. And to those things that are not core district functions, I think it's important, though, to recognize that the CSD and your board's been elected by the community. And even though they may not be things that staff is particularly working on, the community still needs a forum for a voice on these various things. And so to what extent does the board want to, you know, pursue some of the other visionary issues? And that's where staff, again, didn't go there. We wanted to focus in on our core responsibilities. And really, quite literally, throughout 2015, I think that we're going to be so busy on core responsibilities that any of the other community visionary things will really take, you know, either committee or board leadership to move them forward. And obviously, I would be more than glad to dialogue with committee members or board members on some of those other visionary things. But I really think that staff has to focus on core responsibilities and nuts and bolts things especially into 2015. That community engagement process, then, there's part of me that when and how much, because certainly these goals as they're laid out and as your board might want to modify them is, in my mind, pretty good direction on what we really need to get working on hard. And so in terms of having a public workshop, one of the thoughts that I had is that, you know, we still don't know how much rain we're going to get this year, and we're not sure what type of, you know, drought or mandatory conservation that we're going to have to be considering in the next couple months. And my thought was, is that if once we know how the winter goes and what we're looking like next year, that having a weekend workshop where we talk about the status and what we need to be working on, and then if there's other visionary things, then to engage at that point in time on the broader issues, as opposed to, you know, jumping into that right now. I feel good about the goals for 2015, and I would be glad to, you know, talk about any of them or run through them in a little bit more detail. But again, I think just as an outset is, you know, the roles and the core responsibilities versus some of the other visionary responsibilities, and then, you know, at what time is it appropriate to have more community engagement in this effort.
I wanted to chip in, having been at the meeting on Friday, and one of the things that I think that is important to point out is the approach being a changing approach from being reactionary and the reactions of reactionary in the means of fixing things that are broken to preventative maintenance, and we've already seen the paradigm shift start on this, and so this is a multi-year approach. It's going to tie in to what we're looking at, which is here in the strategic planning draft goals of the pro forma. Staff has been working hard at identifying the resources, the lifespan of those resources, the replacement cost of those resources, all of these things which are going to be necessary to continue to run an efficient organization. And so the discussion on Friday, my understanding going in, my understanding coming out of it was that it was a identifying what the paradigm is going to be towards addressing these problems and addressing these issues. And that was my take-home message from it. You know, I hate to acknowledge criticism, but I think that it's not well taken. The criticism of Ms. Tackert this evening, she was accommodated on Friday by not having to do public comment at the front end of the meeting, which she always complains about, and then she comes in and complains that she had to listen to an hour presentation prior to making any public comment. And so those kind of approaches, and then Mr. Edwards complained that, 4 years and we're done. Mr. Ogren's going to retire. You elect Board of Supervisors 4 years. You hire County Council on a 4-year contract. You elect us to a 4-year contract. You elect a President of the United States to a 4-year contract, to a 4-year term. So a 4-year plan is well within what we know as government. And so I think it's appropriate, and I applaud Mr. Ogren and staff for doing this. I look forward to rolling up our sleeves, to continue to roll up our sleeves and work on this. Another comment, Vice President White reminded me that in October of 2013, on October 23rd, with Gary Keefe, we did a strategic planning session here at the district, and we did have a large document that was produced. And I think for our next meeting, we should even if it's just with Jennifer and I, we should incorporate those minutes and that document into our discussion, because some of the work is, you know, we may need to modify it based upon any votes that were taken. We may need to follow up on them and continue to do that. You weren't here yet, obviously, Pavlos, a year before you got here, but I think that it's something that's important for us, you know, as continuity and a consistent message to the community.
And I think one of the things we did in 13 was I'm not sure we adopted it, but we came very close to adopting a mission statement that we worked on and discussed. And I have notes here, and I'm sure it's in the minutes somewhere on the mission statement. And it was pretty well completed, so I would hate to see us go backwards to do any work that we've already done.
That's on finance, correct?
No, it's just a general.
Okay.
It was a finance committee recommendation number one, confirm and modify the existing mission statement. And we spent about, 20 minutes discussing the mission statement that already existed at that time. So if we go back to that, which is kind of the start of things, we might want to consider what we've already done in that area. And there's some other stuff in this discussed strategic planning document from 2013 that I would hate to see us go backwards on or go over again.
Okay. So we can get copies of... I can go through my stuff and see if I still have mine.
You probably have mine.
You have yours still?
I have
Matt,
mine.
Do you still have yours?
Yeah, and it's on the website. This should be on the website. Also.
Okay.
No, I don't have mine, no. But that's still on the website.
Okay.
It'll be in the agenda packet too, President Lucy.
The old...
It should be.
Yeah, it'll be in the old agenda packet.
Plan,
that's from October
23rd, 13.
Yeah. That's why I say it's on the website. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just that we had the other... kind of loosely defined goal setting. And so I forgot about that document. Okay.
Well, a document like this has that benefit, right? It stirs up some of our memories of things that were previously worked on.
Right. Right, that's correct. And so my thinking was, and I'll turn it back over to Jen, because she chaired the meeting on Friday and did a fine job of it. Thank you very much, Jennifer. But my thinking was is that the discussion tonight would be to give some direction to that particular committee, if any, and it might be to go forward and come back with suggestions based upon your review also of the finances and bring that back to the board, or to follow the spreadsheet that was provided by staff. That's kind of, I think, the direction that I was looking for from the board. I'll turn it over to Jennifer.
Yeah, at the meeting on Friday, Mr. Ogren did point out a few options that we had for tonight, which was to go with this list of goals and that staff and, that was collaborated on. And then for the committee to monitor them or to set a workshop now and go with that, or to go with these goals for now and then set a workshop for the future when, as Mr. Ogren was saying, in the spring when we know more about the drought and have more information. So,
all right. I kind of looked to the committee as to how we were going to move forward, and you would kind of frame that out. So we have a draft document to go off of, and that you would determine if it was best to have a workshop for the board to get everybody on the same page and then have a more broader open community workshop. And the reason why I say that in that order is that community members and ratepayers aren't always on the same page as this board. And so sometimes we tend to make decisions with our hearts versus what the task in front of us is. And so community wants to talk about beautification and sidewalks and all those great things, you know, fun things. And that doesn't really fall into this particular goal setting. So, but to get the board all on the same page. There was another thing, too, is that as we move in, and I want to think of the drought as a temporary thing, but policies and procedures change when you're in a drought situation. And we are in an LRRP status, which is low reservoir response plan, which kind of changes the rules. And so where does that come as far as priorities go? And a lot of times our planning and our goals are sometimes driven by legislation. And so if we have money coming down the pipe that we've been watching for, such as you know, some of these other funds and sending these other bills that we've mentioned. Where does that go in the strategic plan? Does the priority, because it's funding, make it an urgent priority, or because it's a drought response? What makes it a priority for the district? And so is it timing, or do we have a dog in that fight, or which one? But it things change, you know, and since we officially have hit that mark, things are changing. So I kind of wanted to see somehow to integrate some of the policy that impacts us into our goals, because that kind of drives a certain segment of the staff as well. Mm-hmm. Their job responsibilities, like the general manager has to sit at the Board of Supes all day long waiting to talk about, you know, this and that, you know, it does impact everybody. So if I might real quick
interject, like on the water resource policies and how we incorporated that into this goal setting document, is that in January I identified that the Lopez contract renegotiations
correct
need to be initiated. So tomorrow night, it's not on the Zone 3 agenda. It's on the agenda as a future agenda item. And so my thoughts in discussing with Zone 3 is, how are we going to approach that? Because so far at the staff level, there has not been a consensus on how to approach the Zone 3 contract negotiations. And that concerns me. Mm-hmm. There's good that there's a number of different items that staff of the various agencies are putting on the table, but I really want to avoid, you know, running around in circles. And separately, in 2014, you know, the first half of 2014, I was actively engaged in Nacimiento renegotiations. And what happened on the Nacimiento project is that the city managers were actively engaged in the discussions. And, you know, granted, city managers are still staff, but they're at a much higher level. And what happened is the city managers would bring in, you know, their key assistants for those meetings. But it provided the ability to get pretty focused on what were the issues that were going to be discussed and which issues were not going to be on the table. And so what I'm going to encourage tomorrow at Zone 3 is that the Zone 3 renegotiations are really going to require that the city managers are the participants. And then to the extent that the staff of the various agencies have different ideas, they need to educate their city managers on those different ideas, and then the city managers need to get into the discussion. So on the Lopez renegotiations, there's no doubt that, you know, those efforts are going to be starting tomorrow night, you know, with some general discussions on how we want to approach future agenda items. The also in here, and that's the most pressing policy issue that's in front of the board right now, in terms of the contracts or the policies, separate from what are we going to do. I mean, we also have in here the need to immediately start working on the drought implications if we don't get rain, and mandatory conservation, and what are the rate analysis implications. In terms of the other water resource policies, developing long-term water resource strategies, I have that in the July through December timeframe, and that gives us the first 6 months to really focus in on the Lopez and the renegotiations and the immediate impacts of the drought and what are we going to do, you know, this year if we don't get any significant rain, and then leaving the second half in order to tackle some of the other long-term water resource strategies, like in a normal year, do we want to use Lopez water first or do we want to use state water first? And so that's kind of where I've sort of outlined where my judgment is on the priorities, focusing in on Lopez and the drought in the first 6 months, and then the other long-term water resource strategies in the second 6 months. And that was part of, you know, again, knowing that they're all important, but how are we going to proceed in 2015 and which ones we're going to tackle first?
One thing that concerns me is that until a lot of these things, until we have some idea of costs and budget funding on some of these things. I mean, we can have a beautiful set of goals, but if it's never going to happen because there's just not enough money, we need to refine this to the amount, the goals we can reach with the money we have. Because I am very concerned about some of the short-term stuff like Well 8 and Well 5 and that kind of stuff. I see that more important than some of the little bit more esoteric or philosophical things.
And if I might, on that implement high-priority projects then, so... You know, obviously, we've got recommendations on Well 8 as the last item in the last discussion item or board business item today. But the other ones, you know, the emergency generator, the idea is, you know, we've got to nail down what the scope, what the schedule, what the budget's going to be, what it's going to look like. And Vice President White, I agree that on some of these, we might end up looking and evaluating that and say it's not fundable right now. But until we lay it out, we can't make those determinations.
Yeah.
I generally am more optimistic on the emergency generator and being able, and then well number five, we've got an indication that the state's willing to provide grant money for that. So that one is a good one, and I've got to get some correspondence off to the state this week on that. Chloramine conversion typically is not real expensive, and we might be able to incorporate that into the grant funding for well number five. But well number four, motor, you know, that might be a tougher one. The yard piping, I think we can do as part of well number five, and a lot of that is Tony and his guys. The Halcyon line extension that would serve the Coker Ellsworth and some of the mobile homes, that one's certainly going to be dependent on to what degree do those private parties want to help in getting that done.
Yeah.
So we've listed out what, you know, have been the discussions of the high-priority projects, and we need to do the evaluations on them. But it's not that we can guarantee that all of them are going to be moving forward. And, again, I think the role of the committee and then the two directors also being on the finance side of stuff is an efficient way for us to move forward in evaluating those things and then coming back to the board with determinations of whether – you know, which ones we think are fundable and which ones we can really implement in the short term versus which ones we can't. So certainly those high-priority projects. You know, in general, what we're seeing there is Well 8, emergency generator, chlorine commission, Well 4, yard piping. And my general opinion is that when the district had Lopez and State Water and everything's flowing really well because we're not in a drought, I think that there's been significant deferred maintenance on the wells. You know, and it's been an over-reliance on surface water.
Only about 50 years.
Yeah.
Not just the wells, but yes.
Yeah. And so
specifically the wells, but not just the wells.
And so because that's a source of supply issue, we've really got to nail that down. And, you know, fixing well 8 and well number 5 are going to be huge on that and getting the emergency generator done. But we really need to get that supply infrastructure because the rest of the pipes really don't matter if we don't get water into the pipes.
Exactly.
So that's why we've moved that up, and also obviously in response to many of the prior board comments and stuff on those projects. But the point being is that as we're moving forward on these issues, yeah, there's no assumption that we're going to have enough money to actually take all of the steps. And that's going to be part of the evaluation at the committee level and on our performance and then coming back to your board with the work that we've done.
I'm just saying until we get some funding information, it's hard to go more than about 2 months. I mean,
right.
But we also have to look into them to find out how much funding we're going to need, I think, too.
So, you know, in general, then, what we're really looking at over the next couple months is... You know, some of the nuts and bolts and stuff that is like the sanitary, the sewer system management plan, the SSMP, that regulatory wise, we have to submit in April because it was adopted on April 21st of 2010. The regulations require a 5-year update. So we've got a deadline in a couple months. I've got a question for the regional board as to whether or not your board has to adopt that because the code says if there's significant changes, then the board has to recertify. But as we go through that effort, which entails a lot of regulatory reading, If the changes aren't deemed to be significant, then staff's going to be able to submit it to the regional board and online. If they are significant changes, then we'll have to come back to the board for approval of that document.
Well, we haven't had any significant additions or subtractions from our system, so.
And my gut feel is that we're not going to see significant changes to the plan update. My bigger concern is how well have we actually been complying with the plan. And we know that Tony and the guys have been doing a great job, especially in 2014, and getting in there and jetting it. But the requirements of the plan go into a lot of detail. There's a biannual internal audit requirement, so we have to do an internal audit of our own work effort as well. That doesn't have the same April deadline associated with it. So I feel good about the physical work, you know, the jetting program and the fog program that have been updated. But it's some of the paperwork that I'm concerned that, you know, we haven't been fully complying with the plan that the district adopted in 2010. So that's a good example of a regulatory thing that we need to get on. We have some timelines that we can't miss. And then the high priority projects, you know, work on our water policies and the contract negotiations. And then the other big thing that we see in here in the upcoming months are things like the job descriptions and the salary surveys and the things that we promised that we will do when we adopted the MOU, you know, on the union MOU, because come April 1st, we're back in renegotiations on the MOU, and so job descriptions and salary surveys, we need to get working on those in February. In March, I laid out some things on sort of we have the garbage franchise fees, and we also have in the past where a paving project has come through and they've paved over our manholes or they've paved over our valve lids and stuff. And that's simply because the CSD didn't have them lifted. You know, we have to take care of our facilities before. So the idea is there's impacts there, and there's a good question I need to work on with legal counsel is that, is it permissible to use our garbage franchise fees for those purposes? In general, cities and counties use their franchise fees because they have road-related responsibilities, and yet we have facilities that are in the roads and are similarly impacted because of paving projects, and is that permissible? Or is it like the NOPOMO approach where NCSD, you know, gives rebates on the garbage rates and sort of simultaneously says, well, we also have to charge you a little bit more on the water side. Their approach is essentially to soften the blow of some rate increases. That goes so far. So there's two different approaches that we're going to have to evaluate with franchise fees. And if we use the city and the county analogy, then maybe we can use them for our infrastructure that we need to fix when a paving project comes through. And then the other alternative is to use the NCSD approach. But we definitely want to start getting to uncovering those manholes and lifting them. And if that funding is available, then Tony and the guys will be able to do that sooner as opposed to later. In March, though, I'd say initiate planning on access and upgrade service improvements and evaluating the garbage franchise fees. That then will tell us the funding and the schedule of whether we can take next steps on actually doing the physical work. So I didn't want to just focus in on the big items in terms of our immediate needed projects and water policies and the employee relations issues. I also wanted to make sure to continue to move forward on some of the other maybe smaller items, but we have to keep the ball moving on multiple items, you know. Identifying the major ones that we need to tackle, like the projects and the unions and the water policies, but to get some forward progress on some of the relatively smaller ones as well. And then April, May, and June, I think that what you see there is much of that is prepping for the budget. You know, consider updating the mission statement, which we talked about. Marie and I have talked about the need to update the chart of accounts, a more collaborative approach of everybody being involved in the budget development. And so April, May, and June, where I've got a little bit more on budget prep stuff, I'm also figuring that some of the January, February, March work is going to end up, you know, the follow-up is going to hit us in April, May, and June as well. So I think that those first 6 months especially are relatively aggressive, but I like the goals in order to, you know, in a way, keep our own feet to the fire of making sure to move forward and everything.
And is it just my imagination, or have you kind of picked out one of the top priorities, one of the bigger projects for each month? So it's continuing on with, you know, like contracts and things like that. But each month it appears that deferred
yes.
project comes on board. And I see that March is, you know, drafted by March, to the board by March, you know, so a lot of that work from January, well, December, January, and February actually ends up at the board by March to kick off hitting the field.
Yeah, so on the job descriptions and the salary survey, particularly draft by March 30th, and the other one says complete by April 30th. Because those will ultimately be part of negotiations on the union side of stuff, we should not anticipate that they're going to be on an open session item in March or April, right? Because those will be part of negotiations, and that's more of a closed session
and
item.
And all the heavy lifting was already done on the MOU.
Well, there were a number of items that were left as open issues, but I felt good about that first one.
We never approved them.
In February, there's another one. It's the second one from the bottom, which is initiate planning on relocation projects resulting from bridges and road projects. So, for example, Highway 1, that drainage project, the news I'm getting is that some of the water line is going to have to be relocated in order to accommodate the drainage lines. And similarly, the county is planning on replacing Air Park Drive Bridge. And because we have lines in that bridge, it's our responsibility to move them temporarily so they can do the bridge project and then come back and put them back in place once they're done with the bridge.
That work that's done by the district in prep for others' projects, right, does that is that included in the Coastal Commission request to do that work? Is our portion included, or?
Yes. And that's part of the confirmation and coordination with the county on this. But what the county is obligated to do in defining the projects is they, you know, you have to define everything that needs to be done in order to get your project done. So they have to identify in their project that there's going to be waterline relocations and those types of efforts. Otherwise, they have an incomplete project description. Okay. However, we might have to pay for our work. So on Air Park Drive, the idea is we're only in that by permission. And the encroachment permit that we have is that if they have to modify the structures, then it's our responsibility to pay for our facilities, because our permission to be in their facilities is subject to them having to repair their facilities or do other modifications. Now, there's exceptions. So, for example, up on the Mesa, out of the refinery, there was a pipeline that predated the county's road. And so, I think it was Unocal at the time, but anyway, the refinery's pipeline easement predated the county road. And so when the county had to modify the road, the county had to pay for the relocation of that pipeline. Again, the pipeline had a prior right. In the case of Air Park Drive, I think it's very unlikely that we would have anything like that, and I think it's very likely we're going to have to pay for it. On the case of Highway 1 drainage project improvements, the county has to seek an encroachment permit from Caltrans in order to do the county project. And so the question I've posed is, well, wouldn't our encroachment permit on our pipes in the ground then predate your drainage project, and so therefore don't you need to pay for the relocation of our water line? Because Caltrans is not implementing the Highway 1 project. It's another party, i.e. the county in this case, that's seeking the encroachment permit. So my thoughts there, and again, need to work more with legal counsel in the county on that, is that our water line predates the drainage line that the county is proposing, and therefore they have to pay for the cost of our water line relocation. And because
that
these
would be reflected in this document.
Well,
sort of,
and so that's one of the that's why we've got this item here is initiating planning on relocations, you know. And so then in reporting back to the committee, I would report back on the progress of those discussions with Caltrans and the county as we move forward on this. And I think that's a really good example of working the details and the feedback on what we're learning at the committee level. And then once we know enough, let's say it all goes smooth and no board action is necessary, great. Let's say it doesn't go smooth and the committee says, well, now we need to get this on the board of directors agenda because we need to do some, take some formal positions and, you know, write to Caltrans or our supervisors or whatnot.
And fund
it. Yeah. And it is Oceano, so, you know, anything could happen. But there was another thing, too, is that I look at this from staff time and from a cost side, right? When other projects are coming in the area, because we have so many different entities that are involved in this, you know, Highway 1, Caltrans, you know, the county, blah, 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 blah. So on the other side of the railroad, we have the big drain-off pipe that goes into Povey.
Yes.
You know, which would cost quite a bit of money to relocate that because the county's doing this project right next to it. And now we're talking about going into to private property with the Povey Pond because that pipe flows into that pond. So do we systematically in our heads be inclusive of those costs, or should we just not think of them as costs?
Yeah, on that particular project.
That's somebody else's cost.
Yeah, those particular efforts, those aren't our costs, you know.
Okay.
So we don't really need to deliberate them a whole lot. I don't think that anybody's planning any modifications of the Povey facilities. The idea of the county's Highway 1 project is that it would reduce flows that go through the culvert, and it would reduce flows through Povey's property. And divert a lot of them, but there will still be some flows that go through that culvert and
so
some flows that go through Povey.
When we're thinking about, you know, financially supporting things, right, in situations like that, then that'll be far and few between really. We shouldn't really factor in a fiscal impact.
That's right. We need to focus in on is there going to be a fiscal impact to Oceano CSD? And if mm-hmm. there is, then what are we going to do? Yeah.
Okay.
You mentioned also the idea of there's so many different agencies. And so one of the things that, you know, we came up with at the staff level is for June, the last item is develop public information on roles of agencies serving Oceano. Because whether it's on the web or whether it's handouts at the office, we do frequently have people who come in and they ask us a whole bunch of other different questions. And sometimes we're saying, well, you need to contact county planning. And sometimes we say, you know, you need to contact, you know, the health agency or whomever, and we're still the hub here in Oceano, and so our thought was to, by the end of the fiscal years, to bring something together so that we can have something for Oceano in terms of who are they getting the different services from.
Good luck.
Good.
Well, I just automatically start thinking of areas where they're kind of not, like, covered by anybody because they're written up, like there's a couple roads in town that, yeah, you know, the county paves up to a certain point and then it falls off the map for the county. And,
well,
you know, and so whose responsibility is that? And
that's right. So there's county maintained roads and then there's non-maintained roads and the alleys,
right,
are typically not maintained. So we don't really envision getting into a super high level of detail. But
yeah,
if you want to talk about road stuff, I mean, it's either County Public Works at 781-5252, or if it's Highway 1, then it's Caltrans.
And if it's criminal activity, it's a flip of the coin.
Yeah. But the idea of having that quick reference document on these various salient,
yeah,
issues and
super
who they
valuable
can call and get a reference to.
And you also time is that, you know, every half hour, every 45 minutes that staff has to spend more time explaining a very weird relationship, it's costing. So I was a little confused on the layout of it, on the dates, and then the years and the months, and then the years and the future years, which, you know, is fine. But now that you're talking through it, I'm actually understanding that a little bit more.
And, you know, the part of the intent was we certainly got a lot of details in this.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there's strategic planning documents that are created that are big books. I just didn't want to pursue the strategic planning that is a big book, because those things often get on the shelves and it's a big work product. And it still gets back to, well, what are the specific goals we're trying to do? Also, in strategic planning, we see more and more where it's a living document, where the idea is establish the goals, establish a mechanism to monitor the goals, and then make adjustments as we learn more and we move on.
So right.
I think for that purpose, what we've presented certainly is a good initial document to move forward with.
Yeah.
Right, I agree.
I'm impressed.
So what does the committee say about how we go about being as inclusive as we can on areas that haven't?
Inclusive, what do you mean by inclusive? Finish your statement, maybe that'll answer my question.
Inclusion of the community, you know, do we have board workshops? How do you structurally see us carrying this out? Because structure is a huge part. You know, we can have workshops all day long, but if we don't plan on using these documents as the roadmap,
or if we don't have any money,
it's a waste of time.
Or you don't have any money.
Well, you know, bottom line is we'll never ever have enough money. Okay, when we decide to take our last breath, there'll still be a bond measure. You'll still be paying the utilities for at least 60 days after you die. You know, and things keep going. So I don't like to hear that, you know, well, we just don't have any money. No, I mean, we if it's a priority, then we set up an account and we work towards that money, you know. And you've already worked towards bringing in funds and stuff. So if it's important enough to hit a list, it's important enough to get a reserve going and get the money. I have a lot of faith.
I'll turn it over to Jennifer in a second, but I think part of that is in the pro forma, and that's the figuring out how to pay for it. That's all part of identifying the needs and the projects, and these all tie together.
Right.
And so I think part of that is it does involve community participation. Mm-hmm. We invited community participation tonight. We had community participation on Friday. At every meeting, there is the opportunity to be heard. So, and I'll turn it back to Jennifer and her comments on this. But
so would you like to use the committee as a workshop area? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think that I definitely agree with Director Guerrero. I think tonight is a good time in the short term for us to give input on the specific goals. But I think that I like this setup for these goals that are here before us. I think it's a good place to start. And I am in agreement with Mr. Ogren about waiting until we find out more about the drought before we are able to move forward with the public workshop, which I think Saturday workshop has been thrown around, and it could. I would encourage the entire board. I think that it would be an entire board.
What would we learn that we don't already know?
I think that workshop in particular would be getting input from the community to see, you know, let them know where we're at in these goals, and then also find out what's important to them. And I think it's a good opportunity to clarify what our core responsibilities are and what we have power to do. And it might give us a chance to share some draft information.
Do you think anybody will come? I mean,
that's a good question.
It sounds good. It's a good thing, but if we can't reach the public and if nobody really cares, it isn't that they don't care, but they're already satisfied with what we're doing, are we just wasting time that could be used in implementing this stuff? I mean, we can talk something to death.
Sure. Well, Yeah. Oh, I'm going to try that devil's advocate thing. I usually don't do that, but, you know.
I just asked a question.
Right. And I think that the important thing as far as talking about a drought, you know, beyond the household is that everybody is impacted because new policies come on board and a lot of people don't know what those policies are. For example, our downstream releases, they now have changed. You know, the laws around banking of our, or keeping spare water, whatever people politically want to call it now, those things change.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this whole draft goals, not just water. I mean, water's just...
Well, I was just giving you an example.
Okay. If I might, you know, after listening to the board discussion, a couple of thoughts that I have is one is that if it's the board's pleasure to adopt the goals right now so that, you know, we all are running with something, that maybe call them the 2015 strategic planning initial goals. And that way, I think that that shows leadership on part of the district that says, look, we know a lot of the things that we need to get done, and so we want to set these as initial goals. The question of how much is the public going to engage if we establish a public workshop, like in spring, that question is always out there in terms of, well, you know, are they going to be responsive? Are they going to show up or not? And part of that is in our hands in order to get the message out there in terms of what we're going to cover. There's the input and feedback from the community, but then there's also the educational aspect of what are we doing for them right now. And we've worked a couple of successful approaches on that where, like in a room of this size, maybe we'd set up a half a dozen tables that are addressed by staff, and one's covering water resource policies, another one's covering, you know, the status of the district's finances, another one's covering, you know, different aspects. What are we doing on the, what's our role with Five Cities Fire Authority, you know, where we've had these, it's a workshop, but you end up having different tables set up so that people can come in and learn about the topics that are of their interest, rather than sitting there, you know, through a 2 or 3 hour presentation wondering when someone's going to talk to them about what they came to learn about. So I think there's different approaches to these kind of workshops. Another example that I've seen more recently is where a large conference room is divided into four different rooms. And so what happens is, like, for the first half hour, you have four different speakers in four different rooms, and they cover their comment material. And the public will go to the one that interests them the most first. And maybe there's too many people in that, so they go to a different one. But you do it shorter, and you have it so that the public can rotate from one room to the next. And that way it's, you know, shorter. We're sort of in a soundbite society where we like things nice and concise and packaged real neat and clean. And that format works well in some situations. So I think that, you know, if adoption of the initial goals was your board's pleasure today, I think that shows some leadership for the community that we know we have a lot of work to do, but as initial goals, we also know that, you know, come springtime or in a few, you know, April, May timetable or something like that, we want to talk with the community about how we're doing and provide the opportunity for education and feedback. That will teach us some in terms of how engaged does the community really want to be. Because ultimately, we know that if it comes to a point in time where there's a rate increase, then typically the community show up then. So there's a lot of prep work that we have to do and have to demonstrate, you know, all the work that we are doing. And we'll get people who are interested, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy with the document, and I like the part with initial, because as we move through this, you know, it moves up. So are people comfortable in maybe adopting it as initial?
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
I'll go for it.
Okay, so would somebody like to be the maker of that motion?
I'll move to approve staff recommendation, but to call it the 2015 initial strategic planning draft goals.
Second.
Okay. Ms. Marie, can we have a roll call vote on this one, please?
You didn't.
It's our future.
I know, but you didn't. vote.
She's asking for a roll call.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
And then my understanding would be I'll work with the committee in terms of how to time or structure a workshop.
Correct.
Yeah, good work, you guys. Really.
And I think your time estimate, President Lucy, of 1 hour was pretty much on the...
Jeez.
Well, she has a 3-minute time estimate for the next one, so that was...
Okay, let's rock and roll here. Moving right along. Okay, so... The next action item is under business items is 10C, consideration and recommendations to approve the purchase of equipment, materials, and labor for repairs of well 8, authorize the president to execute contracts, approve a budget adjustment in the amount of $45,000 for water system reserves for equipment and infrastructure. I have one request to change this, if the board would be okay with this, is that we authorize the president and or the general manager to negotiate contracts?
To execute contracts?
To execute them.
President Lucy, my recollection is I found something in the bylaws that requires the president.
Well, it's not that
to
impose,
execute.
But, you know, what happens if I break my ankle?
We'll come get you.
You would, Marie.
We'll bring the paperwork to you.
In that particular, I think the vice president would probably be appropriate to step in on her role.
Okay. Right. She doesn't have any blood in her hands, so okay. And so we're just sticking to that. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just thinking of being
time-sensitive
and move, so, right. You know.
So we have
a motion.
I'll second.
That we approve and get this work underway that's so critical to our infrastructure and our residents.
And is that to interpret the approval of staff recommendations?
Yes.
I'll second.
Okay. Marie, can we do another roll call vote on this since it's a fiscal impact?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Okay, hearing items, seeing none. Okay, utility items? Anything more about utilities? Okay. We don't have anything under closed session, which I'd like to point out to people that most entities are in closed session discussing litigations of one thing or another, and Oceano is not. So, you know, it's things like that I look for. Don't be a spoiler now.
It's a happy new year.
happy, Matt.
You know, I like when the lawyers get paid.
Okay, any written communication? Late received written communication? Any more future agenda items?
Yes. In addition to the ones that we covered in the strategic document. Earlier today, there was a policy discussion on our protocols and, you know, the rotation of, and the clarity that are we talking about the board's protocol on appointment of president and vice president and or what this board's preference is as committee members go to others? Like as committees member, so for example, at Zone 3 Advisory Committee, we know that there's a rotating protocol that doesn't exist in all of the committees. So mm-hmm. I heard two different things. One is maybe the board's protocol on the rotation of the board, and I also heard what's the board's position when committee members go off and serve the district and other places.
Well, when I brought it up, I thought that that we should discuss it because we do appointments now versus a rotation. And although they hold the fair in Paso Robles, we do want to be fair, you know. So that's what I was thinking is that how our board operates, you know. I think that, I think it's pretty clear what I think, but we should have a discussion on the policies around that on board appointments this point.
You mean the outside appointments?
No, I'm talking, we can't, we don't have any control
on the outside
other than being a member of outside committees. So that committee could take up their policies and procedures, and I would certainly hope that we would take a leadership role. But I was talking about Oceano's policies and procedures for this board.
Okay. And then the second question, though, is your board could give direction to committee members that says you'd like to see protocols in place and anything that, you know, granted, it's going to take votes of other people to agree with us. But if I'm a committee member and I go to a committee and I say our board's position is that we have rotating, you know, chairmanships, then it's supported by your board as a whole. So,
well, the Five City Fire Authority has a protocol. And it's relatively new, but it was, before it was approved as an official protocol, it was an unofficial protocol, and they didn't follow it, and so it's all messed up as we go into this year, and it's just a matter of just a friendly decision.
Okay. Well, you know, certainly it's not going to take any staff time for me to put the staff report together because it's pretty much a policy discussion, so I can get that back on the agenda for the next meeting.
Well, that was my intent.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then the other one that we haven't discussed is that the county has a draft resource summary report out, and it's part of their resource management system. And President Lucy has mentioned already that she's on the RAC subcommittee to review that. But there's a number of items that specifically pertain to Oceano and the NCMA. And I think there warrants some edits, and so county planning is...
You all have one waiting for you.
Oh, good.
County planning had indicated that they are willing to come to the next meeting on the 28th, and I indicated that we would. I'm going to work with President Lucy because she's going to the RAC committee.
My favorite committee.
And get our comments and edits together for the next board meeting. And Mike Wolken with County Planning indicated that they would make sure to have somebody here. I think there's some good points to be made.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a large document, but it's not all about Oceano because it's countywide. So there's relatively few pages that really specifically address Oceano's water situation.
One of the problems.
So anyways, I indicated to that... the county, they have to have comments by February 7th, and as a result, it's really the next meeting that we have to review that document in order to provide our comments.
And also, too, is that the committee, the subcommittee that was set up through RAC, is meeting Wednesday in, I don't know, someplace northeast of here, Tascadero or something, or Templeton, one or the other, at 10 a.m. So if you have a burning recommendation, please feel free to email it to me, and I'll include it. I know that Mr. Ogren, of course, has his comments ready, and anybody else, I strongly encourage it. Okay. And on that note, I'll entertain a motion. Is there any closing remarks by any of the directors?
Well, no. I just wanted to... thank staff again, I guess, because I hadn't really gotten to do it on this strategic planning effort. I really do appreciate all the work put into that. So thank you.
Okay, great. And Lori, have anything you want to add?
No, I probably said enough.
Well, you know what? Actually, I really do appreciate you speaking up. And I think it's our obligation as board members to, at all expense, to buffer staff from having to do the personal attacks. And yeah, to stop it as soon as possible and have zero tolerance on it. So I really appreciate you speaking up. And that just goes, it goes for all staff of this district. So on that note, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn on time.
So made.
Second.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Oh, here.